This is the Jacob Sermon Show.
Sermon takes the snap in the pocket, looks to the right, he's going deep. Near sideline has Robinson. Robinson comes back to make the catch at the 41-yard line of Sacramento State. Play action to Afari. Now Sermon in the pocket, going deep, full strut, wide open, touchdown! Monroe, the true freshman, gets into the end zone for the first time of his career and cuts the lead with 7:47 to go at Nottingham.
Presented by Paul Dobenbarger, Shelter Insurance.
Just 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome in as we start things off on this Monday morning with Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. Jacob, my man, you're looking good. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. It's an honor to be here again.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, man. I know when we look at the win-loss column, we're sitting at 0-6 right now for this Bears team. But I'd be lying if I said, you know, looking back the last 2 to 3 weeks or so, it feels, and I'm telling Northern Colorado people, state of Colorado people, it does feel like this Bears team, there are things clicking here with this new coaching staff. As to be expected, it's going to take some time, but it does feel like maybe there's a change in the air for the UNC Bears.
Absolutely. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to some of these really well-coached, well, you know, high-executing level players and teams we're playing, but you know, we control what we can control, and there's a lot of good things that are trending right now with the entire team and the rest of the season.
You got a Sac State team that comes in to Greeley 4 or 5, whatever they were, top 4 or 5 team. Mm-hmm. It's a powerhouse of a football team in this conference. It's a tough conference. They beat Stanford, and we saw what Stanford just did to the Colorado Buffaloes over the weekend. So, you know, if you look at that, if you're just looking at box scores and stats, a lot of people are thinking, okay, Sac State, are they going to run away with this thing? What's going to happen? Not the case. They were up 14-3, but you guys had other plans, stuck right in there, made this a one-possession game late, as you guys have been doing the last couple of weeks, too. So you went out there, and I think you gave Sacramento State perhaps one of their better games of the season so far.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you put the film on, you watch the game within the game and the details that are out there. Guys executing at a lot of high levels. People being put in new positions and asked to do things they haven't done all season. And I think guys are stepping up to the plate and the whole identity of the offense and defense is continuing to mesh and improve.
All right, you got to take us through. It's 14-3 at this point in the game, and then you hook up with a true freshman, and Braden Monroe. Talked to her. That was an amazing touchdown pass. What was that, a 41-yard mm-hmm. yard touchdown pass? Just absolutely beautiful. Take us through that play, man, because that was one of the more exciting plays of the season for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. We just come off a big third down conversion, explosive vertical down the sideline to Jamari. We have them, you know, a lot of times offenses like a mentality when you get a shot play, they're on their heels a little bit, attack again. And so we go, you know, we're thinking we're getting them in a base quarters look, those safeties are going to get in the run fit. So we go, you know, pistol play action to the right, a far lineman pull, get a great set. I think it was one of the best blocking games the O-line's had all year. I was really proud of them. Quarter step up, Braden makes a great move. He gets inside. And with those quarter safeties, they run for it first, so they're not going to get that backside depth that they need. We have an over route pulling the corner backside. So it really just ends up being a one-on-one. He wins his matchup. I can pull him across the field. And you see, obviously, he has some speed and some hands.
Yeah.
The O-line gave me a lot of time. So it was awesome to see, you know, when 11 guys are all on the same page executing at a high level, you know, what can happen.
And just hearing you describe that, and again, the amount of time it took you to describe that, I know that the work that goes into just that play takes hours upon hours of repetition, of film study, and making sure everybody's doing their job properly. And I love that you bring that up, because on those plays like that, we always see the exciting stuff. We see a quarterback throw it downfield and a speedy receiver make the catch. But in those kind of plays, so many things have to go right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for that play to happen, you know, the play before, you don't see it, but Jackson Hoops at left guard or right guard, he'll downstep, pass off the twist, and then pick up the end so I can slide in the pocket, make a throw to Jamari. The running back fitting up in the run gap when they blitz a Mike. We have a one-on-one, you know, making a move, coming back for, you know, a deep back shoulder ball. We got play calling. We got a second and 14 run that gets us to a third and manageable. We can take a shot to even get in an explosive like that. We have the you know, why shift to pull their safety down and then the motion with Jamari, knowing their speed there, they're going to suck up with the run fit a little faster. So there's a lot of different variables that I'm seeing. All that being diagnosable at the same time. All right, where's the coverage? Where's our matchup at? What's that field safety doing? Get your eyes around quick. The line protects perfectly. There's a lot of different things that – a lot of different opportunities for breakdowns, but also a lot of opportunities for people to execute, again, at a high level and make explosive and make touchdowns like that possible.
Ultimately, UNC loses to Sac State, but it was a heck of a football game. 21-13 on Saturday afternoon. Now you guys will be on the road for the next couple of weeks, and we'll talk about the road trip coming up. But Jacob, you know, you have just kept this positive attitude so much throughout the course of the season. But even this weekend, you know, texting you about coming in for the show today and then seeing you this morning, there you feel a difference. And it almost feels like, man, we are seeing this turn. Defensively is getting the job. Only 21 points by Sac State. But offensively, you guys had, what, over 300 yards of offense in this game. So it feels like this plan that Ed Lamb and his coaching staff are bringing into you guys, working with your skill set, Jacob, it's starting to kind of come together. And that's got to be pretty cool for you to see this, knowing that that's one of the things that you talked about doing at the beginning of the season was, when you leave here, is it in a better spot going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that, you know, positivity in my world is I think I'm just so blessed to be here. And so whatever impact I can have that has a lasting, you know, impact on this program, the fans, the QB room, the receivers, young guys growing up in this program, you know, I've seen and been around a lot of football. And I've learned a lot the hard way. And so if I can kind of use some of those lessons and kind of help the young guys avoid learning the lessons the hard way I did, but still take the lesson and grow from that, that's a purpose I feel like I'm still around to do. You know? So
I think I told you about this when we had you on last week quickly. We had your offensive coordinator on, Blair Peterson, and he was talking about you and your skill set and how much you mean to those guys. And regardless of how this season turns out, which I honestly believe we are going to see better days ahead going forward now for UNC. How much does that mean to you to know that you have a coaching staff that, yes, they want to win. They want to win it for all of their guys. They want to win it for the community. They want to do it for their families, all that stuff. But they talk so highly of you, and they want to try to find those ways to see if we can get this offense to really cook. I mean, what does that mean to you to have the support of all these guys? I mean, Blair, who worked with you know, guys like Zach Wilson and guys we're seeing at that next level too. What's that mean to you, man?
It means a lot. I mean, I think I'm just so blessed to be here exactly where I am right now. You know, when I question what's going on or why aren't we winning, why are we doing this and that, I remind myself, and it's hard to do because it's easy to get lost track and lose track and all that stuff. But God's plan is so perfect, and we're here exactly where we're meant to be. And you have no idea what impact you're making on someone's life, and even if it doesn't feel significant right now, I have to believe that he has me exactly where he wants me to be. And so I put a lot of work, I put a lot of effort to building those relationships and trust and leadership where I can, to hopefully, you know, inspire, believe, you know, impact somebody's small, you know, might be just be a moment in a day. And it's just like, oh, that's in a minute they might forget about it the next moment. Or, you know, I can think of, you know, things my true freshman year when quarterbacks or older defensive linemen or DBs mentioned something. Hey, sir, look at your eyes. You're pulling me here. If you hold the safety for a second, you might be able to get the outside window. I'm like, oh. And they probably don't remember that conversation, but it sticks with me and it resonates. And so, you know, if I can have a moment or two just like that for some young guy, then it's the purpose is a lot bigger than me. And that makes it seem so much more fulfilling.
Well, and listening to Coach Lamb's press conference after the game, too, and again, going back to Blair's conversation, you know, it is the long game approach, and you do feel that. And I think that better football programs are built that way rather than, you know, hey, we're coming in with all the glitz and all that stuff, and we're going to try to make this, we're going to pack a punch quickly. When you play that long game like that, you tend to see those long-lasting results too. And that, I don't, and you, obviously, this is a dumb question because I don't think you're frustrated. But at the same time, is that something that crosses your mind where we know how talented of a quarterback you were? When you first came to UNC, it was like, wow, look at this Jacob Sermon guy. Watch him throw a pass, watch him throw a football, watch him read a defense. But at the same time, this is a learning process for a lot of players. We've talked about the offensive line and how they're growing. Has there ever been a sense of frustration knowing, hey, you have that skill set already, but you've got these other guys kind of have to catch up surrounding you on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think there is. And a younger version of me would be much more frustrated than I am. I'm a competitor, and that will never, you know, go away from me. So obviously my desire to win, my desire to put our playmakers in the best position they can, my desire to be able to make downfield throws, showcase some of my abilities, that will always be there. But I think it's naive or selfish of me to believe that I'm entitled to all these different things when, you know, another person would say, man, Jake, you should be blessed that you're even having another season right now. You should be blessed that you're having a college paid for, or you get to be around these people or meet these new coaching staffs or learn this new offense. Or, you know, there's the perspective and the paradigm shift you can have, to me at least, and the kind of the way I see life, I guess. I have so many things that I'm blessed to be a part of and blessed to be around that, you know, when I think of it that way and I think of how fortunate I am, that frustration is quickly diverted into joy or gratitude.
And I love it. I've told you this before, but I love your attitude with all of this and how you've handled it. And again, it's when we look at this, you look at the last 3 weeks for you guys, Idaho State, 35-21, but it even felt closer than that, right? And then the Weber State game, we know how that one went down. But again, a Weber State team, Sac State team, two top teams in the FCS side of things. So when you look at those performances, you got to start thinking, okay, there's what are there, five games left. This Bears team might be able to finish this season off on a really, really strong note.
Absolutely. And this Big Sky Conference is good. I mean, every team can compete with
every
team.
Yeah.
You're seeing some of these blowout games. You're seeing some of the Idaho State comeback to beat EWASH yesterday. Unbelievable. I mean, holy cow. You're seeing programs that, you know, people might write off, and they're stepping up and they're proving that they're really good. Portland State laying it down. NAU hanging in there with every team they're playing. So there's a lot of talent in this league. But I think if you watch these, put the film on, our locker room has no doubt that we can hang in there with every single player, every single team. And the growing pains of a new staff and a new program and, you know, clock management, game management, where you want to take shots, where you want to go for and fourth, where you want to kick the field goal, where you want to, you know, play the long game within the game. All these things that, you know, as you get along in the season, as the coaching staff meshes in with the players and their personnel, all these things, all these wrinkles kind of get ironed out into where you start seeing, man, we're up on Weber, we're competing and we're pushing it with Sac. You know, we're showcasing all these glimpses of greatness, and I think everyone, at least the guys that, you know, that I'm around, we all believe that these glimpses of greatness are gonna start slowly becoming more of a vision and you know, reality.
And we chatted about this a little bit too last week at Jake last week, but it is such a it's tough to get your team and your skill set physically to where you need it to be to win games. You guys are accomplishing that. We're seeing it grow every single week. Now there's that mental aspect of it. And you always hear this in football, whether it's the NFL, FBS, FCS, high school level. It is mentally, we've got to learn how to win a game. Can we learn how to make that comeback? Can we learn how to hold on to a game? That is such a real thing that I don't think a lot of people think about enough. It's like we talk about momentum in football. That's a real thing, too. But finding a way to ultimately close those out and win those games, that's a learning process, too. That is a difficult task. How many comebacks did we see over the week in the Big Sky Conference? We saw it with CU and Stanford. We saw it with CSU and Boise State. It is so difficult to close a team out, no matter what that score might look like, but that is a mental hurdle to jump over next.
Absolutely. And it's not something that can be learned and taught overnight. It's a process that, you know, you have to commit to, and I think our team has done a good job of committing to that.
Yeah, I think so too. But when we come back, let's take a look at it. You're on the road for the next couple of weekends, going to Cal Poly and then to Montana. I know that's a big trip coming up. So we'll look at those two games as we're rounding out October. Can you believe it? We're already past the midpoint part in the month of October. Five games remaining for the Bears. So some positives. I walked away from that game, you know, listening to that game with Blake Olsen and Matt Gaeter on the call, and I just had this feeling like this feels like things are starting to trend in the right direction for the UNC Bears, and we'll see if that takes hold coming up against Cal Poly later on this weekend. We'll talk more with Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310kfka.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310kfka.
Just 25 minutes after the hour. Welcome back in. This is the Jacob Sermon Show presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. Give Paul a call. He's a great local guy. 970-674-8757. Well, the last couple of weeks, Jacob, you have really been clicking. 287 yards against Weber State, 257 yards against Sac State. It just feels like maybe it's getting a little bit easier for you as the season progresses.
Yeah. I think our O-line's really doing great with the protection. We have skill guys making contested catches, getting open downfield. And so, you know, these things as they mature throughout the season are really clicking, and that's, you know, it's obviously showing up a little bit throughout the game.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see. It's exciting, and it's fun to see you guys pushing it down the field, too. Do you think that's something we're going to see maybe more of an aggressive offensive outlook when you go up against Cal Poly this weekend, where maybe you're coming out firing right off the bat? You just kind of put in some of those big play passing plays right off the top of the stage.
Yeah, I think the offensive confidence in taking those shot plays, the time in the pocket, my ability to deliver a ball down the field are all elements I think we're going to continue to try to highlight whenever we can.
So what can you give us so far on Cal Poly when you look at this team? 2-5, 0-4 in the conference. They lost 59-19 to Montana State. Montana State got out early, I think scored 21 quick points there. It was tough to come back from that point. But what can you give us about the Mustangs at this point, Jacob?
Yeah, you know, just like every other team in the Big Sky, they're going to be challenging. They have good players. I'm good friends with their quarterback. He was a guy from University of Washington.
Okay.
Local Washington guy. Really talented, hell of a thrower. So it'll be fun to see him again and compete with that team.
Is that Sam Heward? Three touchdowns for him too against Montana State.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah. Well, and you know what I saw on the Montana State side of things too was they were able to run the ball against Cal Poly. One of the things they were able to do. Sean Chambers, I mean, he's a good quarterback, but 151 yards for him. It was on the ground that he did a lot of his work. He ran for 90 yards. They, as a team, ran for 335 yards. So, again, we talk about the chunk plays. We talk about that at the same time. We know you guys are also establishing that run game pretty well. So I'll be curious to see because, you know, as a just a fan, I would go, okay, Montana State ran the ball well against Cal Poly. UNC's run game's getting stronger as we go here. Maybe they come out running the ball, but to throw them off, maybe you do throw off some of those chunk plays.
Yeah, and the beautiful part about it is both of those complement each other. You know, if we start out chunk plays and explosives when we need to, the run game will be more open, and then vice versa. You know, as we run and establish the run, the safeties fill the box a little faster. We get, you know, more one-on-one options or quick game underneath routes as the linebackers are forced to, you know, fill gaps and respect the run.
How much would a obviously we know wins. We know a win would mean everything to you guys, but being able to get that first one, Coach Lamb, this coaching staff, how big and awesome would that be for you guys to pull this off on the road against Cal Poly?
That'd be huge. You know, I think everyone knows on our team that we're capable of it. But to see it come into fruition and see the steps and the sacrifices and the commitments that we've made throughout the season pay off, especially for some of these younger guys that are new to college football. And it's a long season. There's a grind to it. And as you get older, you fall in love with that process and you enjoy the little moments. But I remember, you know, freshman, sophomore year when you're, you know, your eyes are still a little bit wide and you're processing all this information you get every single week, it can get a lot. And so, you know, finding renewed faith in that process and what this coaching staff and this team is capable of, I think would be awesome.
Are we going to see some more connections this weekend with you and that true freshman with Braden Monroe? I mean, I'm excited to see him kind of grow up with UNC as well. And that might be one of those players you're talking about where you can really help him out and show him some of the things that you went through early on in your career.
Mm-hmm. No, he's going to be a hell of a player for a long time.
Yeah.
He's a dude. Fast, great routes, aggressive to the ball. He attacks it in the air. I think we'll be saying his name for a long time around here.
What was it like after the touchdown? I mean, did you guys share an exchange, or was it just, you know, good job, or what was that like?
I lose what I even saying. But I do remember telling him that it's not surprising. Don't be surprised by your ability. You know how good you can be and how good you are. And so I think it's just fun for him to show others that.
It just feels like, man, the top is about to come off for this Bears team. It really does. And I'm not just blowing smoke that you're sitting here, Jacob.
Yeah.
After the last 2 weeks, it just feels like, okay, they have shown that ability to be right there with these top teams in the country on that side, at the FCS side of things. So now put it all together, a trip to Cal Poly. Two road games coming up for you guys at Cal Poly, and then coming up to at Montana next. Mm-hmm. So
Montana, I'm excited for that one. My whole family's up in Montana, so it'll be a blessing to be, you know, surrounded by family. And you know, my parents met, my dad played for Montana, my uncle played for them, my mom went there obviously, so there's a lot of history. My brother's committed there, so I'm just really excited.
So you're gonna be pumped up for this.
Oh, I'm excited, man.
Not that you're not pumped up for every game, but you know, family, all that
around
stuff.
Family, there's a lot of history. I grew up, you know, my earliest memories of college football are just hearing stories about my dad playing, my mom, you know, bartending across the street, then rushing out and sprinting over to catch the opening kickoff.
Awesome.
It's just amazing. It's when I was a kid, I thought it was fairy tales. It's like, what could be better, you know, than playing college ball? So getting back to there will be fun. The stadium's amazing. The fans are really are lively and awesome. They have a great team, obviously. So I'm excited. Not to look past Cal Poly, of course.
Sure, but
that's just one that's literally just it's close to home, and so.
Oh, I'm excited for that one, too. Cal Poly, Montana, you're on the road for the next 2 weeks, and then starting up in November, you're home against Idaho. But going back to the Cal Poly thing, 6 o'clock kickoff, it looks like 6 p.m. there. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're saying at this stage. You guys haven't had a whole heck of a lot of night games so far.
No, we haven't. I think we had ACU.
Yeah.
Start the season off, and then it's been the only other night game.
So what is that? Does that do anything mentally?
I hate night games.
Do you really?
I don't. It's not. Mentally doesn't change anything. It's just a long day waiting around the hotel.
So that's true.
The day of, you find yourself, not that I get antsy, but I'm like, dude, I want to do something. Let's go and play. I'm prepared.
Do a game before the game.
I know what I need to know. My body's feeling good. My mindset's there. But just the waiting is, you know.
What is that like, though? Do you stay up a little bit later so that you can get up a little bit later? Or, I mean, I always think, like, what is, especially when you're on the road, too, how much of your game day preparation changes when you got a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock game as opposed to a 6 o'clock game?
Not a lot. Everything's pushed back a little bit. You know, you have a morning activation or a team stretch or something. You'll have breakfast and lunch. But nothing's, I don't stay up much later than I would anyways. You know, sometimes we'll bring, you know, some poker chips and hang out in the hotel the night before meetings are done, dinner's done, and we're just waiting around. We'll play cards or play a board game or just chat and, you know, watch a movie and go to sleep. So it's nothing too crazy, but, you know, watch college ball.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
you know,
get to see some games beforehand.
That's fun,
yeah.
For sure. That's enjoyable. So that's kind of, you know, nothing too crazy. It's just, I have an itch to play. You know, I want to be out there. So.
I hear you 100%, my friend. Well, coming up this Saturday, we'll have that game for you with the Blue and Gold pregame show at 5 o'clock. Blake Olson and Matt Gaider on the call. We'll have a portion of this conversation airing before that. People are like, how is Jacob doing radio right now when he's out there warming up? No, we play that back. 6 o'clock coming up against Cal Poly. Dude, just think the world of you, and obviously I'm a huge fan of Ed Lamb. It was cool to get Blair on last week as well. I think something's turning. I really feel it. You know, we're feeling the weather change, although this week's weird, but we're feeling a change in the air, and I think we're feeling a change in the air for the UNC Bears.
Absolutely.
Good luck to you, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. And I think we're going to be having a really positive conversation. That's all I'm going to say. Think we're going to have a really positive conversation.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, sir.
Jacob, all right, my man. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, 34 minutes after the hour. We'll jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Coming up at 5 minutes after the second hour of the program, we're going to talk to CSU head coach Jay Norvell. That was a wild game. Got a lot to get into on that. How about the poll question first and foremost? And Angel, I'll ask you this question. It's our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. What was the biggest story between these two? CU being up 29-0 at halftime and losing to Stanford, or CSU being down 30-10 with just a little north of 6 minutes to go and winning thanks to that Hail Mary at the end caught by Dallin Holker? What biggest story?
Yeah, I think they're both, you know, huge stories when you consider the context and where these two teams have kind of been on their trajectory since the Rocky Mountain Showdown. We figured that would be a pinnacle point for the season, and how they've responded since that has been very telling. I mean, I think it's CU is just the slightly bigger story, and that's not to discredit what CSU did. You beat a team that you haven't beaten ever. That's huge, and you do it in a way that's miraculous, and that is going to be a play that ends up being one of the top plays of college football in the end of the year because of how insane that type of play is. But yeah, I think the CU second half collapse is the story.
Really? I don't know. I'm going to go with the positive.
It's tough because I didn't watch the CSU game. I had the notifications on. I had the Twitter updates on. But I didn't even watch the CU game until like the fourth quarter when my movie was over. And I was like, oh, this game is close. What happened?
Mm.
And then all chaos broke out.
I mean, you got it. That's why I'm going to save the movies for summer, Angel. Save the movies for summer.
29-0. I was ready to go to bed.
Save the movies for summer. It's football season.
No, because I had it on before I started the movie, and I'm like, okay, let's see what happens. And it's like 14-0. I'm like, okay, this game is over. I'm going to put this movie on. Hour and a half later, oh, it's 29-19? And I text Brady. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah,
this game
could make stop, and Travis Hunter, for as well as he played in the first half, he did get it looked like he was gassed. He was getting burnt a few times, then had a bad penalty. And again, it's not on one guy there. Offense couldn't convert. You couldn't find ways to convert. Punt after punt after punt. I think they had a turnover on downs too.
I mean, how many can't stop a slant route? The same guy every play is a slant route. Who is this, Michael Thomas?
He's a better wide receiver than he is a defensive back.
Yes, because it's easy to say, hey, we're not going to throw at Hunter, but hey, just go run go routes all game because Hunter's going to have to follow you.
Well, again, you got to think he's going to get gassed over time too. I mean, that's just part of it. Brian Howell shared this out from Buff Zone. From NFL Rookie Watch, Travis Hunter reportedly might have to start focusing on playing one position, according to some NFL scouts. Hunter finished the game against Stanford with 13 receptions, 140 yards, and two touchdowns as a wide receiver. But he also finished the game allowing 11 receptions for 158 yards. And that's the thing. Like, on paper, that is an awesome thing to say, oh, he plays both ways. But really what that should mean is he plays a few plays both ways. He's not 100% the number one DB and is he the number one wide receiver? Maybe. Again, his first game back in a while. That is a tough thing to do. It's nearly impossible to do it at the highest of levels on both sides.
Well, when you talk about NFL teams and building, I can't waste a first-round pick on a guy that's only going to play half the field or, you know, a guy that's only going to play. Are you going to be an elite corner or are you going to be an elite wide receiver? Because I can only get one of you.
What is he? He's a freshman, right?
Freshman or sophomore.
Yeah, so I mean, if I were him, I would finish the season out the way he's doing it as much as you can because CU's defense needs him. And even though he struggled, he's still very good. Outside of the second half against Stanford, he's given up 65 yards as a corner in the other two and a half games combined. So still pretty good as a DB.
I think, you know, with Hunter, I think I agree that he needs to pick one. You need to put one as your main focus, and I need, whatever position that is, he needs to add like 15 more pounds. Because if you're going to be a top wide receiver, you need to get some weight on you. If you're going to be a top cornerback and be physical like he is, you're going to need more weight on you. He can play skinny right now because he has to have as little body fat as possible to be on the field all game long.
Yeah, and obviously you start getting into those conversations or whatever, and
how much tread is on the tires by end of 3 years?
Yeah, you just got it's something to be mindful of for him personally, you know, because again, the Buffs are going to need him to play both ways this year, especially because they just don't have the guys on defense. Mine is definitely the bigger story is a team that's never beat this team. CSU's never never had success against Boise State in terms of win-loss. Never. And they found a way to get it done, 31-30. This game was depressing. This game was, I mean, I tweet a lot during CSU games, and the vibe around Rams fans was just awful, negative. You know, here we go again, and maybe we have quarterback issues, and same old story, can't do it. And then it all changed, and it changed in 6 minutes. It was like, I thought, okay, they went down and scored, made it 30-17, and you thought, you make a quick stop here. No, they onside kick it. That's right. They onside kick it. They get it. They go down and score again. They can't get another onside kick, can they? They did, but it was an illegal block or an engaged block before the ball went 10 yards. The ball did go 10 yards, but before it went 10 yards, we had a player engaging in a block or whatever before 10 yards. So they re-kick, don't get it. They make the stop on Boise State. It is the three and out they need. You didn't get a punt return that you wanted. You were hoping Torrey Horton could touch the football. Didn't get that. Then at, I don't know what down it was, second or third down, BFN finds Torrey Horton open downfield. He makes a big play to set up the Hail Mary pass. And then, Angel, magic happened for the Colorado State Rams. Maybe it happened. We know it happened at some point. Well, the Hail Mary happened. And this is a designed play that they do practice. So I want to talk about that. Torrey Horton leads it, and then Dallin Holker, the other stud on this team, is the guy that's going to kind of make sure he's behind all the action. So Horton's going to sprint, get to the corner, the back corner of the end zone, and BFN's going to throw it to him. He's going to knock it down, essentially, or DB's going to come in, trying to knock it down. Somebody's going to try to be a volleyball player in this sense. And Dallin Holker swoops in with the catch.
Colorado State looking for their first win ever against Boise State. One final shot. Fowler Nicolosi chucking it into the end zone. Everybody is there. Is it caught? Is it caught? Colorado State! Dallin Holker makes the catch. It's a miracle in Fort Collins.
It was a miracle. Right before the play, that wide open, that look that BFN connected with Torrey Horton on, something about it just made me think, man, everything is swinging suddenly, that it hadn't been the entire game. And even at the six-minute mark when they got their touchdown, their first touchdown after, inside that six-minute mark, you're still thinking, great, they got a garbage touchdown out of that. But when they scored the second one in that 6 minutes, under 6 minutes, I started to really kind of believe. They had, 38, 40 seconds left on their final possession. When BFN completed that to Torrey Horton downfield, I just thought, okay, it's a Hail Mary, but it's not a Hail Mary. It's not a Hail Mary. It's like a, 35, 40-yard pass? So I tweeted it out. I was like, something special about to happen? I wanted to predict it. I wanted to say, I think something special is about to happen. But I didn't want all the Rams fans coming after me at the end when it didn't happen and giving me the whole, you spoke that into existence, whatever. It just felt like something was going to. Dallin Holker, 7 receptions, 85 yards, touchdown, scoops it. He is my Zvi Brewing whole show player of the week. Yeah. Another one for him. It's the second one of the season. I think he's the first of the football season. Yeah. Susan and Cheryl love them some Dallin Holker. Careful, he is married. But this is my first two-time player of the week this year. So pretty epic right there. He ended with a great night. Horton was amazing, too. 10 receptions, 130 yards. But a special shout-out to BFN. Braden Fowler Nicolosi. Didn't look good in the first half. I didn't like the offensive game plan necessarily, but he didn't look good. He got banged up, too, in the second half. Finished the game, 359 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. The pick he threw, I thought, ended the game. I think all of us did. said that is it, because Boise State scores on that. And I think even Ashton Jeanty, who had 212 yards and three touchdowns, who was an absolute beast in that game, he like waved at the crowd that final touchdown. He looks up at the crowd, starts waving bye-bye. Yeah, they thought it was over. Let's see. Texter from the – where is it here? Chris in Fort Fun. Almost caught it. Top stories are about CSU and Stanford. I just as soon talk about Boise collapsing as I would CU. I'm with you on that one. Like, misery's bad. I get it. You know, CU collapsing was bad. But we witnessed history on Saturday night with Colorado State being Boise. So I'm going to disagree with you, Angel. The story for me is Colorado State doing something they've never done before, and that's beating the Boise State Broncos after 13 or 14 tries. 11:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the first hour. Jay Norvell, head coach for the CSU Rams, is coming up at the top of the next hour. You do not want to miss this conversation. Trust me, it's going to be good. And we'll talk about his dancing moves as well. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
It was a wild weekend for sure, but my poll question today, I want to know, what's the biggest story from the weekend? Was it CU's collapse up 29 at halftime over Stanford, or was it CSU's comeback win under around 6 minutes left, down 30-10, and they got a Hail Mary to do it? We got the Lonster on the First Advantage Hotline. Lonster, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It was a lot of late nights this weekend. A lot of late nights.
Oh, yeah, more than I can handle here.
Yeah. You know? what's going on, my man?
You know what? I'm going to say the CSU win, because this is the very first time we've beaten Boise State since who knows when.
Ever, Lonnie. Never
happened. Exactly.
Never happened.
No, it hasn't, for sure. And I'll tell you, give me the CSU win anytime.
Yeah, it was 6:20 left in the game, and you're down by 20 points. That, you know, I think on ESPN, the percentage chance that CSU had was like less than 1%. So absolutely mind-boggling numbers in this whole game. And I think that was their biggest halftime deficit they've ever overcome, was a 17-point deficit there. So they made a lot of history on Saturday.
Yeah, they did. Well, I was listening to the play-by-play on radio, and I was in bed listening to it, and the commentator for CSU, he thought that they can maybe come back on this one. He kind of had this feeling that something was going to happen.
I didn't start to really believe. Now, when they got that first touchdown inside six, made it 30-17, and I thought, you get a quick stop here, and then, of course, you get the three and out, or the onside kick. When they got the onside kick, I started to think, quick score, and you're going to have time to get the ball back. So when they got the onside kick, I started to believe that maybe good old Uncle Mo was on their side.
Yeah, I did too. Hey, let me ask you a question here. Hey, beginning of the third quarter, when that one player did that hit on that one CSU, should he have been thrown out?
Yeah, probably, because, well, that's tough for me to say. But, you know, an engaged block and then it was an illegal block. I mean, it was a bad play. That's how guys really get hurt. Because when you're engaged in a block or a guy's blocking or whatever, and then someone comes in and kind of blindsides you while you're already engaged with another player, you have no way to defend yourself from that guy. That's worse to me in some cases than, you know, a hit over across the middle for a guy trying to go up for a football. This guy doesn't, you can't double team like that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe so. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought too. But, you know, I know the announcers, I'll tell you what, they were not very happy with that call.
It was a play that I think. It's why you saw Jacob Gardner come up with a late hit later on. I just think they were so upset with that play, and they wanted to try to make that one make that right somehow. But, yeah, it was crazy. Lonster, appreciate the call, my friend. We're up against a break here, but thanks for the call, man.
Hey, you have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
All right, you too, man. Kenny McDowell, who did get hurt in that game, and that was a scary situation, but sounds like everything's good. He was discharged, I believe, yesterday morning, early morning. He was in good spirits. UC Health and Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies helping them out, getting him ready to go. So he's okay. He's a solid dude, just a very positive guy. So that was a scary moment, but perhaps a moment that got the Rams really, really pumped up to try to pull off something crazy, and they did. 31-30, Colorado State over the Boise State Broncos. Head coach Jay Norvell is coming up next. Don't miss it. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.